York Liberty.
But why not a
Laney, the crossover, the drive, and the lane.
And Jonquel Jones, nice move in the post, gets it to go.
Vandersloot, evil dunk.
Ionescu, she got it.
And Stewart doing it all.
That is what makes her special.
Welcome to Liberty FM, the podcast dedicated to all things New York Liberty. I'm Felicia, and I'm joined by my co-host and husband, Francois. The WNBA season has officially begun, and we're here to talk about the Liberty's first game of the season against the Washington Mystics. Not a pretty game, but they managed to get the win. Francois, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it. And obviously, in Liberty fashion, it had to be a hard game to start with. Like you say, it wasn't pretty, but we got to win. But yeah, I was going through different emotions in this game. I felt like very similar to last year. The Liberty had started the season in DC as well, and it wasn't pretty last year. They got pretty, you know, banged up in that game. And so it was very similar in this game. But thankfully, we had Jonquel Jones and Benaja Laney.
Yeah.
Jonquel Jones was on MVP form from Connecticut days. What did you make of her performance tonight?
It looks like she picked up where she left off last season.
Yeah, playoff of last year, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I always thought ever since JJ came to the team that she and Benaja were going to be our X factors, that obviously, you know, Stewie, Sabrina, Sloot, obviously the whole starting five, they're great players, but you gotta feed JJ. And it was important that she got those minutes in tonight, and she did a fantastic job. She looked in top shape, but again, she just came back from China.
Yeah.
So I think that also probably helped that she came back, you know, playing in already in form than maybe some of the other players on the team. So I think she did wonderful tonight.
I mean, she did everything. Shooting threes, crossover. I mean, there was that one crossover on Stephanie Dolson, bless her. I mean, she's a former Liberty. But that crossover on Dolson was incredible, with a step back three. She was aggressive and attacking the basket, everything that we expect from JJ. And like you said, we could tell that she's in top form, having played in China in the offseason. That's the JJ we want. And she was, I would say, even stronger than what we saw in the playoff. So that was a good thing for the Liberty. Because I felt like some of the other players on the team, and particularly Brianna Stewart, were not performing as we expected. And I think maybe Washington had a game plan was to like double team Stewie and put a lot of pressure on her as soon as she got the ball on the post.
Yeah, I think she just had a slow night tonight. I mean, she only had 8 points. And so I think, you know, she'll definitely come back from this. I'm not too worried about Stewie. They definitely had a game plan defensively on her. And, you know, it was tough. And DC is a tough team. I mean, when you think about it, those players, they play hard. They always have. They've always played the Liberty hard. And so I think, you know, tonight was just one of those nights. She's not going to have, you know, the 20-point, 30-point game every single night. So, you know, I just think, luckily, obviously, she had JJ, she had Benaja, and the others. Everyone else contributed, which was great. So, in this case, it wasn't about Stewie. You didn't have to rely on Stewie. And that was probably the good thing that I saw tonight, was that if Stewie didn't get points, we weren't in that much trouble. Like, you still had JJ, you still had Benaja, you still had a bench. So, yeah. Which I would say the Liberty didn't really have last year. They have a much better bench that kept the game going defensively and offensively.
Yeah, let's talk about that bench, because I'm sure, as you're aware, and most Liberty fans, that was one of their main complaints last year, was the fact that Sandy Brandello didn't use a bench at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that she said that she wanted to make sure that she worked on the chemistry from the starting lineup. But at some point, over-relying on them they got burned out during the playoffs, and you know, you didn't really trust your bench. This time around, you have a lot of players that are athletic, that can shoot, that can defend. And I was really happy that from the get-go, you know, she trusted her bench. Kayla Foran and Nyara Sabali were the first players to come in, but she trusted Dojkic, Fibish, Kennedy Burke. It was nice to see that everybody was involved and that players like Sloot or Stewie could rest. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's going to take a bit of time, you know, to find chemistry with players from the bench, to find your rotations. You know, Fibish, I felt like, you know, was pretty good defensively, but there were times where, you know, obviously she was a little late on some assignments, and you saw Stewie sort of guiding her. I mean, she just came into the team in New York, you know, end of last week. But I felt like she did a good job considering that she had little time to practice with the team. So that was definitely a plus. And I would say that, you know, the bench looked much stronger than last year, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. I was interested in seeing everyone on the bench, but I was particularly interested in seeing Sabali because I felt like, you know, last year, obviously she came off of injury from the year prior, and then coming in last year, she only played here or there. She never really looked in rhythm with the team. And then obviously she went overseas and got a lot of playing time. Yeah. And I think that really, really helped her. And just seeing her come in and just provide that defensive presence, which was good. She had a block, you know, and even for
a crucial steal at the end as well. So
yeah. So, you know, I think just having a stronger bench is what the Liberty is going to need so that, you know, so that Sandy can rest her players, can rest the starting lineup a little bit, give them a chance to just even hold the lead and not lose grip of the game, which I think for the bench, they definitely did that to me.
I mean, what I like with Sabali is that she play on the strength, you know, blocking shots. She had that steal, as I mentioned earlier, towards the end of the game. She was aggressive towards the basket, even though she didn't get that layup at some point. But those are things that I got to see her doing in the EuroLeague. So hopefully she will have a little bit more playing time. But what I saw so far was pretty good. We saw that, you know, Fibish had 13 minutes. I thought she was really good on defense. You know, she was, you know, aggressive, try to stay on the player that she had to guard. Had a nice mid-range shot. Didn't make any freeze, unfortunately, even though that's one of her strong suits. But I felt like, you know, for someone that just arrived, that was a pretty good entrance. And I was also, I actually liked also Dojkic as well. And I don't know what you think of that. And as I was reading comments on Twitter, there seemed like a lot of people that kind of want less minutes of Sloot and Sabrina Ionescu. Obviously, offensively, they're very strong together. But the question always remains with the perimeter defense. And I think, you know, the Aces last year kind of exposed that in the final. And, you know, it still feels like it hasn't fully been addressed, but in a way, it has been addressed because you have a stronger bench. Mm. And I felt like when Dojkic was associated with Sabrina, those were good minutes together. And that gives time for Sloot to rest and come back, you know, more fresh. What did you make of that pairing with Dojkic and Sabrina?
Yeah, I honestly think when you see the whole game, you know, it was actually better for either Sabrina and Dojkic to be in the game or Sabrina and another to be in the game versus Sloot. Because I think obviously people know that with Sabrina and Sloot in the game, yeah, they may start the game. Obviously, they're the starters. But as the game wears on, you know, teams will pick them apart defensively. And that's what the Mystics started to do. So, yeah, I think when Dojkic came in, it sort of slowed things down a bit from what the Mystics were trying to do. And she brings a lot of energy to the court, you know. So I think defensively that she was just a good fit so that Sloot could get some time on the bench. And it also helped kind of space the floor a little better, especially for Sabrina. You know, I do have to give it up for Sabrina. You know, we always talked about her defense, and you can tell that she's really trying, and you can tell that she's not going to be your top defender. That takes time. That's not going to change in one season. But I do think that she did well. She was definitely on the ball, reading some of the plays very well. I think she had a couple of steals tonight as well.
She got one steal and two blocks.
Yeah. She really, you could tell she's really trying on defense, and it's going to.
Listen, that's all we're asking for, right? I mean, you cannot over the summer turn into, you know, Brittany Sykes or Alyssa Thomas on defense.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're asking efforts, and that's what she showed tonight. You know, still some lapses on defense. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're going to try to attack her, but I felt like she was more locked in, and it wasn't as easy to score on her that it was, you know, last year, and especially in the playoff. And having two blocks, one steal, she already had two blocks in one of the preseason games against Connecticut. So that's good. And she did say that, you know, during the offseason, that was definitely something that she wanted to work on. And we saw improvement tonight.
Yeah, and that's just going to build her confidence as well to, you know, keep pushing. She knows that, you know, teams are going to target her. So she has to come ready. She has to stay locked in, especially on defense. And so I give her kudos on that. And just even getting in driving. She was one of, outside of JJ and Benaja, she was the other player that was really driving to the basket. You know, I think the Liberty need to do that more because they didn't get to the foul line that much, but not until obviously the very end of the game. But I think that's something that they really need to do more of is, you know, either feeding JJ in the paint or really driving to the basket, especially people like Benaja and Sabrina. I really like the way Sabrina is really pushing to get herself to the basket, and she has a much better move to the basket, and even her floaters have gotten a lot better too this season.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that Jonathan Kolb had mentioned during the exit interview. It was the fact that he wanted to see Sabrina attack the basket more. And I think she mentioned that she needs to be more aggressive. And when she does, we saw it last season when she did it, like, she was pretty effective. And today she did. Like, she didn't shoot the threes as well as we're accustomed to. But when she attacked the basket, you know, a lot of the times she scored, she had a couple of and ones. So that was really great to see. And so at some point in the first half, the Liberty took a 10-point lead. So we felt like, oh, you know, they're going to have a comfortable game. But with the Liberty, and especially tonight, the inconsistency and the turnovers were really the, you know, the Achilles heel today. And so, you know, next thing you know, and it was a 13-0 run for the Mystics at the end of the second quarter. And that crazy free by the Belgian player Van Loo to end the quarter, this half-court shot, that was incredible. And next thing you know, the Liberty are down by three at halftime, and all the little good things that we saw were out of the window in less than a few minutes.
Well, yeah, I think just, you know, they were complacent and sloppy, you know, in that second quarter. I think once they got that 10-point lead, it just sort of... I don't know if they thought they were up by 20. I'm not sure, but they just sort of slowed things down for themselves, and the Mystics sped it up. So, you know, I think, you know, for the Liberty, these are the ebbs and flows of games, but they really have to push that when they even get a lead to continue. I think that is the one thing that stands out to me between the Aces and the Liberty from last year is that when the Aces have a lead, they keep a lead and they keep it going. They do not take their foot off an opponent's neck. And I think for the Liberty, sometimes they do. They get a lead and then they kind of ease off the gas a bit. And it's like, no, you've still got two quarters left here. You need to keep going. You need to keep pushing. I don't care if you beat somebody by 30 or 40. You got to keep going just to stay locked in and not, you know, become lazy and complacent. And I think that's what sort of happened there in the second quarter. And the Mystics, you know, got the momentum at the end.
Yeah, I don't know if it was, complacency because in your head you're like, oh, this Mystics team is not as good as last year. Obviously, they lost Elena Dunedin, they lost Natasha Klaus. So maybe you think that, the offensive power is not as good as before. But they've got grits, and you could tell that, they're playing for each other. They, locked in on defense. I felt like they had good sets on offense, setting screens for Atkins that was on fire in this game. And at some points, Brittany Sykes, decided to just attack and attack and attack, and it was really hard to stop her. So I was very curious how the Liberty were gonna react, in the second half. One of the other criticism I often hear, about the Liberty, and especially from the haters, the Liberty haters, is the fact that they lack personality, that they lack, this unity or this desire to overcome, adversity. But you saw in the second half, and especially Benaja Laney, who was the X factor in the second half, that they show grit and personality and the desire to come back and get the win.
Yeah, I think when Benaja Laney gets going, she is the player that has that grit and that passion, and she works really hard. And I think when she gets going and she starts pushing, it motivates her other teammates. It really does. And I think when she came out in the third quarter and just attacking, I think that's the mentality for her. She's such an attacker on offense and defense. And so it's like when you see somebody who wants it real bad, and you see that from her every game. She may have her mistakes, but the one thing I would say about Banaja, she is not lacking effort. She might make a mistake here or there, might miss, have a turnover. It happens in games, but she's never lazy to me. She doesn't like play lazy. She's always a fierce competitor, and that's why I love Banaja when she makes that team tick half the time. So I think when she gets going, and like she did in the third quarter, you could tell like, okay, this could turn it around for them.
Yeah, and should I say Benaja Laney Hamilton?
Sorry,
That's
yes.
something
I
that we
gotta
have
get used to that now.
to
Laney Hamilton.
Laney
I'm so
Hamilton
used to
now.
just saying, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but what was interesting was how she was sort of able to decipher the Mystics defense and make them pay. She did notice and mentioned post game that every time they were going under the screen. She made them pay at the 3-point line. She had that crazy dribble, between a leg and attacked the basket at some points. And I think the crucial play was that steal when the Mystics were sort
Fourth
of,
quarter, yeah.
yeah, the third, was it the
Fourth.
third, fourth quarter? Yeah, when they were kind of relaxing a little bit too much on the inbound pass, and Benaja came out of nowhere. Got that ball from Sykes and just went to the basket at a time when the Liberty really needed it. Because one thing that Sandy Brandello mentioned post game that Lucas Kaplan got to ask was the lack of touches in the post in the second half. It was a lot of sort of like perimeter offense, shooting threes or just holding on to the ball for way too long and then just have like a desperate shot and forgetting to pass the ball to JJ, who was so effective in the first half, or even at some points Tui. What did you make of that? Like, this sort of lack of, inside scoring in the second half at some point.
So, you got to give credit to the Mystics defense. They didn't make it easy for them to even get in to the paint. So I do think that, when they make it hard on the Liberty tend to, they don't always fight back. They tend to stay on the perimeter and just try for a three or just try to see who gets open when you really need to play for JJ. She had the hot hand as well as Benaja, but in particular, JJ, you need to play for her. You got to play for her more often, especially if Stewie's on the bench. Like, Stewie got to sit for a long time, you know, and so I think there, that's when you really got to keep going to JJ. Nobody can really take her. And she just looks so confident under the basket. You know what I mean? Last year, this was a completely different story. She gained confidence, I think, as the season went on. But in the beginning of last year, she looked a little bit uncertain sometimes. And so I think here, you saw such a confident, strong JJ going up to the basket. You got to keep feeding her. That is your X factor along with Banaja. And Banaja just sparked the team in the second half.
Yeah, and I'm just reading another quote, you know, taken from the post-game conference where by Lucas Kaplan, where Junko Jones shares about her joy of starting this new season and just being able to, you know, be with her sisters and teammates and lean on them in tough moments and build and grow together. So, yeah, it feels like, you know, a lot of jitters. And, you know, she was really, you know, looking forward to get going in the season. And she definitely did not
miss. She had jitters?
Yeah.
She didn't look like it.
But, I mean, that was a strong performance by JJ. So, at some point, I mean, you look at the fourth quarter. You know, what was the score for the fourth quarter? If I look back, it was 26-13. So it was a complete takeover by the Liberty in the fourth quarter. You saw much more effort on defense. They were really locked in. They came back, took the lead with a couple of minutes left. They started to get a little cushion, and then Sykes went again on a crazy run. I was like, good God. Like, it kind of reminded me of like the last game of the regular season from last year, when she had the winning shot against us, and then the playoff where her and Natasha Cloud just would not give up.
I mean, again, Sykes has always been a pain for the Liberty. Anytime they have played against Sykes, it's tough. She's quick. She's aggressive. I mean, and typically, a lot of the time, Sloot was defending, and Sloot could not keep up with her. And that was a really hard thing for her. So, you know, it's only when she only slowed down if Banaja was on her, really. And, you know, she got a shot off here or there. But, you know, when Sloot was on her, you know, Brittany could pretty much do whatever she wanted. So, you know, again, she's a pain for us, for sure. She is not, she's a hard player to deal with. And so I think, you know, yeah, down in the fourth quarter, they don't want to lose, and neither does the Liberty. But I think, you know, I'm glad that in the fourth quarter, though, that the Liberty just kind of put their foot on the gas and kept it going. I will say,
let me challenge you on that. And you know what I mean by challenging, right? Okay. Sandy Brandello.
You know, but listen, okay. But
she know that, you know, she has challenges, and now they add, you know, they added a second one now.
Yeah, but
there were two players that she could have challenged, don't you think?
I think in particular the call, the offensive call on JJ. Mm. When you play that back, clearly Dolson was moving. So she definitely could have challenged that. I think the one on Stewie, people are correct. That could have gone either way. Mm. she might not have won that one. But I do think going forward, she needs to challenge. You're only up by 1 point, I think, at this point.
Yeah, when Sykes got a basket in the thing, they were only up by 1 point.
Yeah, and they hung on to that 1 point lead for a while. So, you know, it's just at that point, I felt like, especially for JJ, you should have used the challenge. I don't know if in the WNBA, if it's the same, like in the NBA.
I think it's the same rule. I think if you have a challenge and you win that challenge, you get a second one. I think that's the same rule as the NBA.
Now, can they look at things just as quick as the NBA? Because, you know, when you see the NBA sidelines, everybody got some kind of iPad, some kind of device to, like, quickly go back on the play. I didn't really see that on the sideline. I assume they do, but I'm not sure.
I guess that would be one thing to look up.
Because she seems the first real home hesitant. Game. She seems real hesitant. Like last year she was. But listen, That's just one thing for Sandy. She used her bench today.
Let's so try I'm, to be positive, yeah. Yes.
I'm happy. The only person that didn't play was Marquisha Davis, which I know she had her graduation and probably didn't get to practice with the team much coming back. So that's probably why she probably didn't play tonight or get any minutes, but she'll be there at some point. But yeah, she pretty much used everybody, even if it was for a few minutes. So and, I'll give her that.
Yeah. And, the last minute or so, the Liberty got the job done. They locked in on defense. They got stops. I was a little frustrated with the boxing out because, the Mystics got two or three shots in a row at some point. But they got the job done. And then after that, Sabrina kind of finished the game at the free throw line. And they ended up winning by 5, 85-80. We'll get the win. Not pretty, but we got the win.
Yeah.
They play the bench. We didn't mention Kennedy Burke as well, who, played 8 minutes and got, I think, 6 or 8 points, if I'm not mistaken. Let me quickly check. 6 points. Yeah, 6 points in 8 minutes. Obviously that was the first game. She didn't really get to train during training camp because, just resting from a long season in Europe. And we didn't see her in the preseason game. So I felt like it was a good first game for her.
And I like what I saw from Kennedy Burke, too. I think, the difference with the bench last year and this year is that, bench players outside of Kayla Thornton, and when, Maureen Yohannes was there, you didn't have that many shooters. And so they just didn't shoot the ball that well outside of KT and Maureen. So, in this game, I was pleasantly surprised with the bench that they were all willing to try to get, it's going to take some time again for everybody to get used to the system, get comfortable, besides KT, who was there already. But I think just seeing them take shots and be aggressive and defend and, I think that's just good for the Liberty all around to have a good bench going into the season.
Yeah, that's definitely the thing I'm looking for this season, how she's going to utilize the bench, what are going to be the best fits and the best rotations. But I definitely feel like we have a better bench. I have to mention, obviously, some of the players that got cut from the Liberty. We know that a lot of the Liberty fans were pretty upset when Jalen Sherrod got cut from the team. Sadly, it wasn't surprising because I think that some of the players they brought from Europe, you knew that they were counting on them. And obviously, the Liberty only being able to have 11 players in the roster because of a tight salary cap, you knew that it was going to be a tough decision. And so, unfortunately, Esmeri Martinez and Jalen Sherrod were the last two players getting cut. But they show out. They prove that they deserve a spot in this league. And who knows? Like, the Liberty said that come July or August, they will have some cap space to recruit a 12th player. Could be a player that was part of the training camp and knows the system and would be ready to go. Or it could be Marian Johannes, depending on how she feels after the Olympics, if she's got enough energy to finish the season with the Liberty. But there are options, and I think that we haven't seen the last of Jalen Sherrod. But a lot of fans were saying that what the Liberty are missing, she provides that. That spark on defense, the aggressiveness, the attacking the basket, the athleticism, despite, being only 5'7". I feel like it would have been interesting to see her, but it is what it is, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it was tough. I really, one of the things just watching all of them play, it just was so loud to me how we need to expand these rosters.
Mm.
It's so important. Like, even if you expand it to 14, 15, it's necessary because you have some fantastic players. Like, I think in the end, I wish they could have kept Sherrod and Martinez, but I kind of figured they were going to keep Marquisha Davis. She did get drafted in the first round, and I thought they were probably going to keep her, especially for her length. But Sherrod, she provided that spark. Mm. She's quick, yeah. You know, but I don't know what, you know, went into, you know, the decision making on that. But again, they're rookies. So, you know, yes, they showed out well in preseason. You're not sure how the full season would have gone for them. But, you know, I do hope that, you know, one of them will come back. You know, we'll see what that 12th spot will be in the summertime. But yeah, she provides a tremendous spark, and defensively, she's so quick. I mean, she has quick hands. She 5'7" shouldn't matter, but I have an inkling that I think it mattered to the Liberty a little bit. I think so. I don't think it should matter because she was fantastic in the preseason. But I think for the Liberty, they needed, I think even last year we said this, that they needed some height, especially when it came to playing the Aces, for instance. Because, you know, you had Asia, you also had Candace at one point. Now I know Candace has retired, but you have some teams that have pretty good height out there. And so, you know, it wouldn't always be easy because I think they did try that when you had Dangerfield on the team a couple of years ago, and she did well.
She did really well.
I was surprised they even let go of Dangerfield at one point, but you know, I do think that may have come into part of their decision making too.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Sherrod's all her career has proved people wrong. I think that she was overlooked in college and decided to go to Colorado, a program that didn't necessarily, you know, attracted a lot of, you know, top players, and she turned that program around and made them, you know, one of the top teams in the Pac-12. And she was showing that already in college. Like what we saw in those preseason games and the open practice, she was doing that in college. She was undrafted. I was very surprised that she was undrafted, probably because of what you mentioned with the height. But we saw it, I said it the previous podcast, Deja Fair from Syracuse, who got drafted by the Aces, and she made the roster. So when you can play, when you can ball, I think that it doesn't matter how tall you are. If you have that extra factor, you can make, you know, a spot in this league. And I'm sure Jalen Sherrod, whether it's with the Liberty or with someone else, when the time will come, she will have a spot. I was already envisioning what she could do against the Aces. But I think also, you know, we have to slow our expectation. Like you said, she's a rookie. Unless you're like, you know, one of the top three, top five from the first round of the draft, you know, you don't necessarily expect all the rookies to completely turn around the outcome of a team, you know. They can help, but you know, I think sometimes as fans we get a little too excited, you know.
I mean, I think, you know, we watched the games today and we even checked in on the Indiana and Connecticut game, and that was a tough game for, you know, the number one draft pick. And you know, coming into the WNBA, this is a tough league, and even if you are the number one draft pick, it's going to be hard. You're going to have to adjust. It's going to be an adjustment, you know. So even for all the rookies, you know, it's going to take time to adjust and find your rhythm in this league. And, you know, they'll get better. But, yeah, you don't expect the first time out that they're just going to, you know, dominate and, you know, win everything for their team. So,
I mean, that's the next game, actually, the Indiana Fever against the New York Liberty. And I do not want to see anybody else but Benaja Laney on Caitlin Clark. What Dejanay Carrington showed tonight against Caitlin Clark, you know, in the game between the Indiana Fever and the Connecticut Sun, was tremendous defense. And yeah, Caitlin Clark really struggled. She ended up with 20 points, but she had 9 turnovers, which is a record for the most turnovers for an Indiana Fever player, and I think for an opening game. So that's definitely, if I'm the Liberty, I'm watching the tape of that game against Connecticut, which is kind of like the blueprint of how you could like slow and make Caitlin Clark's life very difficult. So Benaja, I expect great things from you on Thursday. And obviously, it's going to be the first home game for Indiana. They're going to have a sold-out crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, they caused us a little bit of trouble at the end of last season when they were starting to figure things out. So I'm really looking forward to that game. And it's going to be almost like a playoff series because then 2 days later, we'll face them again in New York for the home opener for the Liberty.
So but the Liberty can't be complacent.
Because, definitely not.
You know, yes, the Indiana Fever are a young team, but they're hungry. They're scrappy. They got to get their turnovers under control. They really do.
Yeah.
You know, 20 turnovers in this first game is too much. The fact they won is surprising. No one typically wins with that many turnovers. So, you know, they got to get that under control. They got to really tighten up ball handling and passing and not make these silly, silly turnovers.
All right, so we're looking forward to those two matchups against the Fever. We'll be there to recap those games as well. But as we always say, Felicia,
let's go Liberty!